I would say I'm looking forward to the fellowship tonight, but since I was just diagnosed with diabetes, I'm starting on the D's now. Amen. I've had all the B's, bifocals, bridges, bunions, bags, and bad breath. And now I'm starting on the D's.
We got cheesecake just for you. That's sugar-free.
Amen. I'm looking forward to the fellowship tonight. Amen. It changes everything. Hey, praise the Lord. You were just talking about you had, what was the two things you said you had up here a few minutes ago? You were talking about you had, I forget which. See, memory goes too, but, you know, I, 35 years ago, I got salvation, not probation. I'm so glad for that. Amen. If you turn your Bibles, two places, Genesis 18 and Philippians chapter 4. The best way to remember is the Philippians, all those books, those four books together, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. That's God's electric power company. And that way you can remember where it's at. Amen. So tonight we'll be in the power part of those four books. But I met Brother Scott and Rachel down at our church. When I came back from the mission field, I didn't want to go back north again, so we settled in and started attending Bible Baptist, joined there. And I met these fine folks and became friends with them. And certainly been a blessing. The grandfather, Brother Buddy, I've been praying for him for probably ever since we found he had the aneurysm. Was that 2 years? I pray for him every day and told him I continue to pray and still pray for him through this operation and everything. And thank God for the Lord bringing through, because he said, I don't think I'm going to make it through it. And even the doctors said it's very, very dangerous. So I believe prayer works. Amen. Amen. But Brother Jed's been a great blessing, he and his wife. But and he made me feel so good tonight when I come in. He walked up. He says, you know something, Brother Bartlett? Every once in a while, someone amazing comes into your life. And I thought, Then he said, here I am, and you're welcome. So, now, I'm going to work on, you say, what in the world? How are you getting faith promise out of Genesis chapter 18? I want to explain something to you. You know, faith promise in the Bible is a principle. It's not even mentioned. You can find the word faith and you find the word promise, but you can't find the word faith promise together. Faith promise missions giving is a principle. You say, well, if I can't find faith promise in the Bible, that means I have to give to it. I'm not going to believe in it. Okay. Then throw your Bibles away. I don't know if mine says it. Oh, yeah, it does say that. If you look on your Bible, it says Holy Bible. You know how many times that's found in the Bible? None. Bible's never found in the word Bible. In the Bible. It's the word of God, so don't believe in that either. Amen. But what I'm going to do out of Genesis 18, I'm going to give you an application. I'm going to take an Old Testament story and I'm going to apply it. And I'm not going to take it. This is not doctrine. Yeah, I can't teach this as doctrine. It's an application that's going to fit. Once I get done, you're going to say, I never have seen that before. And you're going to never look at Genesis 18 the same again. I promise you, you won't. So you need to know that if you're new to the church, that missions is the reason for the existence of the church. And I believe the church has an obligation to be obedient about the Great Commission. Jesus Christ himself, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. So we're told to go. We're told in Acts chapter 1 where to go. We're supposed to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. And so of all the commands given by Christ, the greatest as far as activity and service goes would be, again, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, follow along with me in Genesis chapter 18 as I do my application tonight. Verse 1, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray ye, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, and knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and a calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent, door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? I'd say no. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to use this story of Abraham and Sarah and these men to make an application as to what faith promised and what the missionaries, as we get this story explained, we'll have a different outlook on the missionaries that come to this church. And Lord, I just pray that you would guide and direct. I pray that our hearts would be tender and open and willing to receive the application that's in your word. And may we use it for your glory, and we'll give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before I get started, I need to give you some phrases in my reading you need to be aware of. Now, if you write in your Bible, which you say, well, I think that desecrates the word of God. I don't. I think you ought to write in your Bible. Amen. If you do write in your Bible, I want you to underline some phrases in my reading. So as I get there, I'm going to explain them, and I want you to be aware of. First of all, we need to look at the word tent. In verse 1, we have in the tent. In verse 2, we have from the tent. Verse 6, we have into the tent. Verse 9, in the tent. Verse 10, in the tent. Those are important. Also, mark these verses about the men. In verse 2, it said, lo, three men. In verse 16, notice the men. Now, that's also very important to my teaching tonight. Next, notice Sodom or Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 16, you have Sodom. Verse 20, you have Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 22, you have Sodom. Now, that's the three pegs that I want to hang my lesson on this evening. I want to make some application of these three things for our day and time. All right. Now, the first thing I want you to know is this. The Lord came to Abraham when he was in the plains of Mamre. Now, I would like the plains of Mamre to, let's liken that to Georgia. Okay. And so he found Abraham in the plains of Georgia, so to speak, in the church. I want the tent to represent the church. All right. So God came to Abraham in Mamre, where things were going as well as could be. In fact, beside the fact the world was wicked and falling and going to hell, amen. So he came to Mamre, where things are going well, and the assignment was try to do something about Sodom and Gomorrah, which is a place where things weren't going well, where total domination of Satan was. So Mamre is Georgia, and Sodom and Gomorrah is the world. Now, in the tent in the story, again, represents the church. I want the three men in this story to represent the missionaries. With that in mind, here's what I want you to see. Men came to the tent on their way to Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, the application is, today's missionaries come to this church, which is a tent. They're wanting to go to Sodom and Gomorrah and do the job that you don't want to go do. Amen? So let the tent represent the church, the men, the missionaries, and Sodom and Gomorrah represent the world. And let's look at the application. I want you to know, first of all, the Lord worked only through the tent. All right, that's important. The Lord today works through the church. In Acts chapter 13, we find that. The Lord came to the tent. He's going to work through those who are in the tent or members in the church. The members of this church was Abraham and Sarah. Amen. So let's look at three things, if you would, about the Christians that were in the tent. Notice where they were. In verse 18, it says that, surely not 18... verse 9, behold, in the tent. It says they were in the tent where they should be. See, every Christian ought to be in a good Bible-believing church. Amen. Every Christian should belong to a good gospel-preaching church. You say, well, I come here, but I don't believe in joining churches. Well, I don't know why, but I'm sure most everybody here is a member. Notice what these people were doing in the tent or the church. They were doing nothing. They were doing nothing. They were just sitting there. Now, I don't believe this indicates that they were out of the will of God by just sitting there. I believe they were waiting on assignment. They just had not been given their assignment. So they were sitting, which was not wrong. I think it would have been wrong if they would have kept sitting, continued sitting, after they realized they have another assignment. I believe that if you're sitting in the tent, you've been sitting here, and you really haven't been that involved in missions, or you haven't been involved in the church that much, if you keep sitting there, then you get out of the will of God. But if you're waiting for the assignment, I'm here to give it to you this week. I'm going to show you what your assignment is these next three nights, and please be here. When God comes to you and says, hey, you've sat long enough, it's time to get up, all of a sudden what you've been doing in the will of God becomes wrong because it's no longer right to sit in the tent door. So they were in the tent, they were doing nothing about Sodom and Gomorrah. Number three, notice when they were sitting. They were sitting in the heat of the day. So that's what they were doing, where they were doing it, and when they were doing it. Now, I want to show you some things about the tent or the church out of this story. Notice in this story, the attitude of those in the tent or the church had toward these missionaries or these three men, which we're going to liken to our missionaries. Look at verse 2. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Now, I don't believe you ought to bow yourself to the ground when a missionary comes in. That's not what that's saying, amen. But, and said, my Lord, if I now have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread. So we see that Abraham received these missionaries with an attitude of respect and honor and so on. And you should receive missionaries as they come into this church. You ought to receive them, realizing they've been sent from God on a mission journey to Sodom and the world. And we should honor them when they come in. So we had an attitude of honor toward the missionaries that come here. The second thing, notice the assignment given to the tent or the church to the missionaries. And by the way, you as a church, and you are the church, we're not talking about this building. The church is not the building. The church is you, amen, and me. We are the church. So in your church or in your heart, I hope you don't see them as beggars. See, I went to 100, when I was on deputation the very first time, raised my support for the first time, 15 months, I went to 167 churches. And I guarantee you, I went in many of them, and a lot of them said, oh, I'm glad you're here, and I've got another missionary. God help you. Don't ever do that. God sent a man of God, that angers me. When people refer to them as beggars and missionaries. Listen, folks, missionaries are not missionaries because they can't make it as pastors. I'll tell you right now, I know a lot of pastors who couldn't make it as a missionary. Being on the mission field is not easy. It's not. I didn't get to build a church over in Australia. I had everything in the, I had a Catholic priest say everything. I just, when I found his priest, I started witnessing to him. He cussed me out like a sailor, amen. And I had a woman take an old woman, about 90 years old. I tried to talk to her at the door, and she said, "Get out of here. I don't want any part of it." Well, she had, around the corner was her grandson, I guess, and he was about 14, 15. I started giving him a tract, starting to witness him. Next thing I knew, man, a broom was coming down on my back. She beat me off that porch with that broom, told me to never come back. I says, that's fine, lady. Don't hit me with your ride next time, though. But we have an assignment toward our missionaries. Look at verse 4. "Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree." Let me tell you something. It ought to refresh him. The missionaries coming here ought to be a refreshment to him. That ought to be your goal when they come in these doors. Amen. Notice something else. We are to share our riches with him. Look at verse 5. "And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort you your hearts. After that you shall pass on, for therefore are you come to your servant." And they said, "So do as thou hast said." And Abraham hastened unto the tent unto Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth." And Abraham ran unto the herd, fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto the young man, and he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk and a calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Do you know what Abraham was doing? He was refreshing them by sharing his riches and his wealth with them. Now, I don't believe that you ought, when a missionary comes to this door, you ought not to privately support him, by the way. I don't think that you give to this missions program of this church and let your pastor decide who they're going to take on. Listen, it's dangerous when you start supporting a missionary on your own. I talked to your pastor about this, and maybe some of you are already doing this, but this is not wise either. Sometimes a missionary will set up a book outside, and he says, "You want to be on my email list. Put your name down, put your email there, and I'll send you private letters." That's wrong. See, sometimes not every missionary is scrupulous, and not all of them are all that honest, amen. A lot of them will send you letters they won't send the church, and want money from you that you shouldn't do. Every bit of your money, if you want to send to a missionary that maybe the church doesn't even support, say to the pastor, "Hey, this is for that guy who came through that you decide we're not going to support. I'm going to send him $100. Put it through the offering plate. He'll send it to him." But you ought not support your own favorite missionaries, because Paul talks about by equality. See, some missionaries are... I've heard some missionaries couldn't preach their way out of a paper bag. Most boring sermon. I've been to missions conferences by the hundreds. I've heard some missionaries, they honestly couldn't preach, but they'll go over and build overseas and work with third world country, and they'll build some of the best and biggest churches you ever want to see. So we can't judge them by the way they preach. And so anyway, now folks, we have an obligation to share with others what God has put in our flocks and our herds. We do as individuals and you do as a church. Not only should you tithe, but you should be sharing some of your flock with these men who are going to Sodom and Gomorrah, risk their lives, subject their families to some inconveniences to try to win them to Christ. Listen, if you don't want to give, then go. Either put in the plate or get in the plate. "Well, I don't want to give so they can go." Well, then fine, you go, we'll give so you can go. Amen? What are the plans? But you got to do one or the other to be in the will of God. Amen? We need to share our flocks and share our butter and share our meal for these dear people who are going. So our attitude is we should be honored at their presence. And our assignment is to share our riches and give them rest. I've been in a lot of churches. I didn't get any rest. I told you, Pastor, as soon as I met you folks this morning, And it didn't take but very long at all. I just couldn't wait till tonight. I'm so excited about this week. So you got a special church. If you don't travel around, you don't see a lot of the other churches, you don't understand what you really got here. You got something great. And I love being here. Here's another thing I want you to see about these men in the tent. There were some who were acting in unbelief. I hope not, but I'll tell you right now, There may be some folks, when I get done with this teaching, all this teaching all week, you say, sorry, I can't go along with that. Amen? I can't do that. I hope not. Look at verse 9. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. Now, Sarah was exactly where she needed to be. She was in the church. She was in the tent. She was where she ought to be, but she doesn't have the right attitude about what's going on. She said she heard what those men said. She says, there ain't no way in the world. That's not necessary. It's not possible. We're wasting our efforts to even be involved in that Abraham because I heard what these men said. And she laughed in unbelief. Now, see, I'm not this prosperity gospel junk. But there is something about prosperity when you are obedient to God. Amen? Amen. She didn't participate. She didn't cooperate. She didn't give. She didn't become burdened. And she said, I'm not even going to tolerate the idea because it's something that's beyond our possibilities. Amen? So you got to ask yourself, even if you're a man, are you going to be a Sarah this week? Are you going to be a Sarah? Or are you a Sarah? So in a tent, there were those who lived in unbelief. Now, Let me give you some things here about what the church can anticipate that gets involved in missions. Now, I don't think you ought to get involved in missions anticipating on anything, but on the other hand, when you become faithful to God, He's faithful to His Word, and He has promised us some things in the Bible. Amen. Look at verse 10. And He said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now let me ask you, what's going to be the result of this church getting involved in taking care of these missionaries? There's going to be some increase in the tent. Amen? So I'm going to show you this week, whatever you give to missions this year, it's not a one-way street. You're going to get it back. Plus. So I don't believe that. I just, some of you know Tracy and Shannon Moody. They just went to Bonaire, Georgia out of Bible Baptist. They took over a little church that had about 18, 19 people in it, I guess. And this past April, I went up and did their first missions conference. They weren't giving a whole lot to missions, and they were supporting some mission projects that are not even biblical. And they didn't know, and they took over the church, and I asked him, I says, what are your offerings and your missions giving? I said, I'm not been trying to be nosy. I just wanted to let them know that we're going to see some increase. And so he said, well, our total missions and offerings for a month is close to $4,000. I said, oh, okay. I said, what's your missions? I think he said something around 400, 600, whatever it was. And I said, okay, well, we'll see how the people get, how they receive this. And within 3 weeks after I did the conference, and it's, by the way, it's not because of me. They got it. They went ahead and they said, okay, we're going to try this. We're going to do what you say, what the Bible says, what the Word of God says. And he called me all excited about the end of the month. He says, I said, did you get the increase? He said, yeah. I said, you know, we were taking in $4,000 a month. We're now taking in $4,000 a week. And they've increased their membership by 12 already, just since the missions conference. He set my house. See, I drove up yesterday. Yeah, he came. He and Shannon came down. They had an old building, had run down and everything else. And he's doing all this work, put up a new sign, needed new flooring and everything else. Well, they did. They spent all the money they could on this, trying to get it to look real nice. But they needed some flooring and carpeting, and they just put in chairs instead of pews. And they've really been spending the money on this place to upgrade it and really make it look nice. And So they went down and he brought the paper to me. He said, I got my price on the flooring. And he showed it to me. And it said, carpet and some other wood flooring and this and that and the other. $8,500. Down at the bottom it said, amount owed. Zero. Owes nothing. You say, well, you really believe that was because of the faith promise? Absolutely, I do. No doubt in my mind that that's what, because they were faithful to God's word, and He's increased them, He has blessed them. And I've already told your pastor what I think God's going to do this week. I'm not going to tell you because I don't want you to start shaking and get nervous. Amen. So when they got involved, they only had two in that tent. When they got involved, they had an increase. Amen. Now, I'm not saying that's a total reason, but I'm suggesting you, the Bible, all through the Bible, there is a return promise to those who are obedient to the Word of God. What do you do with a verse? Given, it should be given to you, pressed down, good measure, running over. Amen. What do you do with that? Well, how much will we get back? Depends what you give. You give a barrel full, you get a barrel full running over. You get a thimble full, you get a thimble full running over. It's entirely up to you what you get back, amen? I'm a personal testimony of, I'm retired, and my mission is given. I took on, two of our young fellows went to Bible college. Not only am I giving them my missions, but I'm giving them extra money to get them through Bible college every month. And I'm on Social Security, and I work part-time. Just a little part-time job, And my part-time work, I've already made as much this year by this time as I did all of last year. I believe in faith promise giving. By the way, I wouldn't give you 2 cents for a missionary that didn't give to me faith promise. First thing I'd ask him, are you involved in missions yourself? If he said no, I'd get rid of him. Amen. So the anticipation is God is going to bless you. You say, Brother Bartley, you should never get involved in any humanistic premise like that. I know that. I have a problem with it. But He did promise it. Amen. He did. By the way, when you get to heaven, what are you going to get? What are you expecting when you get there? Huh? Crowns. Rewards. Oh, no, that's too humanistic. I don't want to. I do. I know some of the versions of the Bible say, you know, in my Father's house are many rooms. I'm not getting a room, amen. I'm getting a full-blown mansion with a golf course out back. Amen. He must know at least there was still fleshy enough in our prophet, saved state to attract a prophet. So He said, you're going to participate return in your tent because you shared your riches with these missionaries. That's true personally, that's true of a church. You can anticipate that without misleading God's word. Look at verse 14. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return to thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, there it is again. Hold your place there. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Now, everybody almost takes this whole chapter out of context. Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse 11 with me. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know how to both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate. You could write next to communicate, gave him money with my affliction. Communicate there is talking about money. Amen. Paul is a mission. See, this is a chapter not for us really. Not that I desire, not even that. Verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ. See, we use that for a personal thing, but that's not even written to us. That's written to a church who was involved in giving to their missionary, the Apostle Paul. We always take this chapter out of context. It has nothing to do with us. It has to do with a mission-giving church. Amen? So he says, you've done a good thing in helping my problem. In other words, monetarily. Look at verse 15. Now ye Philippians know also in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving or receiving, but ye only. Says all the other churches. And I know they said, I'm not getting money from the other churches. Now, I don't believe that the other church stopped giving. They didn't know where Paul was to give it to him. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once again into my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound and full, received, having received Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. That's what they did. They took care of his necessity in verse 16. Now, in verse 19, we see what God is going to do, just like he did for the church at Bonaire. But my God shall supply all your flooring according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. So why was God going to take care of their need? Because they were involved in taking the care of the needs of others and their necessities. Now, all things being equal, if you'll get involved in the needs and necessities of these men who are on their way to Sodom and Gomorrah to preach the gospel, he has to take care of your need because you're taking care of their need. Amen? God's not going to let you go poor because you gave. I'll guarantee you, before the week's out, I'm going to show you everything you give, you're going to get back plus a whole lot more. That's anticipation. An obedient church is obedient to the Great Commission. Now, let me start winding down with, I want you to notice the all of the tent. Let me go back over to Genesis 18. Now, I'm not against anything, but there's nobody but the tent that's supposed to be doing this, amen? What I mean by this, there weren't these parachurch orders that, well, I'm going to send it to this doctors on borders because they're helping people over there and listen, if they're not in a local church, you don't support any kind of stuff like that because you don't know where the money's going. I mean, they say if you give to Red Cross, Red Cross keeps 90% of the money. Now, don't get out there, one of them does anyway. I better watch what I say. But it was all through the church. He didn't come to the tent and say, hey, I want you to do this, and then go to some parachurch organization and get them involved. It's all through your local church. Amen. You have a church-run missions and outreach program here because I believe it's supposed to be done through the tent or through the church. And God came to the tent and he said, I want this done through the tent or it won't get done. See, the privilege, and you ought to see it as a privilege of worldwide evangelism is through the church of Jesus Christ, which you and I are a part. Now, enough about the tent. Let me give you some thoughts on these missionaries. In verse 2, we meet the men. In verse 16, we meet the men. They represent the missionaries. Look at verse 5. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that, you shall pass on. Now, pass on to where? Pass on to the world. They were going to pass on to do their assignment to go to Sodom and Gomorrah. You say, remember what I said this morning? Well, I don't like the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, I didn't like that dog that much, but I love the one who loved the dog. Amen. That's why we support these missionaries. These missionaries go greet these people we don't even know and don't even really care about. Look at verse 5 again. I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort your hearts. After that, you shall pass on. For therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. Notice two things. Notice where they were going and why they came. Now, again, where are they headed, folks? Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. To the world. To preach the gospel, to tell people about Jesus Christ. Now, what's the purpose of missionaries stopping at your tent? Verse 5, and I will fetch a morsel of bread. They need bread, amen? The gospel is free, but it's expensive to get there. Do you realize when a missionary comes to this church, he comes mainly for one thing, and it's not prayer support? He's coming here for money, amen? Well, preacher, I thought they came for prayer support. Let me tell you something. They won't go anywhere if that's all they get. Well, you try this sometime. Well, I'm going to be flying out to California. I went down the Delta and I said, well, I'm going to be praying for you. Will you give me a ticket? What are they going to say to you? Walk. You ain't going anywhere unless you got the money to get there. Amen. So Delta won't accept prayers as payment for their jet flights. I will say one thing. Once they get there, they better get you prayer support. You better be praying for your missionaries while they're on the way. And while they're on the way also. But if all we give them is God bless you, brother, be warm and be filled, you're dismissed. We've done them wrong. They've come for our cakes and our calves. The purpose of their coming is to get riches. Is that wrong? Of course it's not wrong. Where do you work? Where do you say you work, Ken? At the end of the week, after you work all this week, you just go in and say to them, I just did that for the fun of it. I don't want anything for my work all week. You can keep your cakes and calves. Why do you go to work? You're wanting your cakes and calves. Well, these missionaries are working for you to do something you don't want to do. So we need to share our cakes and calves so they can go. I mean, I did it. I wore out a car. I put almost 95,000 miles on a little old car, wore it out almost, and ran all over the place and slept in some places that you wouldn't even... I went to one church and they had all kinds of... It was up in West Virginia. This is years ago. And they had all these pastors come in, and he had me come up there. No, Pennsylvania. It doesn't. No, I won't say the state. I don't want you to feel bad in case you're from there. But anyway, he got there. I got there, and they said, "Brother, we arrange this hunting trip for all these pastors every year." And I said, "Oh, fine." And so I preached and. And I hadn't been at it too long, amen. And my wife wasn't able to go on that trip with me, so he said, "We're going to take a love offering for you." They came back, and I was standing up there, and I couldn't help but see these plates are running over from these pastors when they found out I was a missionary there. I mean, it was running over. He said, "Look, we're all going hunting, and we're going to be leaving at 5:00 in the morning. And I hate to do this to you, but you'll be staying at my house and you need to be up and gone when we leave." I said, "That's fine, brother. I understand that. I don't want to stay there with your wife alone. That's no problem." So he took me out, and I promise you, I slept on a hammock where his German shepherd normally slept, but he put a little mattress on it for me. So I got he gave me an envelope with a check in it. I got down the road about... half a block. Every missionary wants to know what's in there. Amen. Pulled over because I knew this place were full. Amen. I opened that thing up and it said $50. That's what missionaries sometimes go through. The majority of my churches were nothing like that. But they do. They run all over the country. They wear themselves out, get on the road. They clean up their kids in church bathrooms, sleep in places where some of us wouldn't even dare to sleep. Why is it wrong for him to come here for one reason? Because he's on his way to go to a place that you don't want to go to, but God wants him to go there, and God wants you to help him get there. That's not wrong for him wanting your cakes and calves. Well, Brother Bartley, I wouldn't support a fellow who only came for money. I would. Why do you think he's coming? So that was the reason these men come in the tent in our story, to get the cakes, calves, and butter. And Abraham gave them exactly what they wanted. Now, I have to quit, but I want to show you Sodom and Gomorrah. These were mentioned a couple of times, verse 16. And the men rose up from this, looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah, verse 20, verse 22. You know why they could turn and now they could go to Sodom and Gomorrah? Because they got the riches from Abraham that they needed in order to get there. Now, notice two things about Sodom. The conditions are terrible. They were terrible in Sodom. You could probably write over Sodom there, United States of America today. I mean, Don't ever let me see a man going into a girl's bathroom. Amen. I'm afraid that I'd probably have to go to jail. I mean, the filth and everything. Well, I'm a her or a she. Well, God bless you. It's sad. We're in bad shape. Amen. Our government sponsors all this gay stuff and put them in office. Listen, I don't hate the LGBTQRSTUV, all these people. I really don't hate them. I'd like to see them get saved. I don't like their lifestyle. Won't know any part of it. But I'd witness to them, amen. So they're trying to make them a minority. So the condition is here. Also know this. These missionaries didn't change it any. Folks, you shouldn't expect the missionaries to write home in every prayer letter and tell the church how much, well, the whole country's getting saved because I'm here. That's not always the case. I mean, my first church over there, we were there, we met in a little schoolroom for 2.5 years, and I had 11 people the whole 2.5 years. I had 2 people come and visit. We went and knocked on doors, couldn't get anybody to come. We had 11 people coming. 2 people came in and visited us one time and never did come back. I thought, boy, this is not great. See, I built 2 large churches over there. One of them was 68 people. The other was 89. That's huge in Australia. I mean, the church I'm in runs 300-400 people. You don't find that in Australia. The average church over there is 15 to 30 people. That's all you can get. It's just a hard... But we changed it a little bit, amen. But the truth is, things may not get one bit better because they're there, because the issue in missions is not success. The issue is obedience. I got news for you folks. We're not having a whole lot of effect in America. Any pastor who would require a missionary to win so many souls to Christ and change the society of some country, or he won't keep supporting you, he's a bona fide hypocrite. See, we're not having much effect on our society. And then why, under God's name, would we expect so much of them? I want a truthful prayer letter. Even the truth isn't what we want to hear. You know, sometimes we all just get a prayer letter that says, help! Now, I hope the missionaries have a big effect. But what I want you to see through this lesson tonight, this is just getting a good start on it. Obedience is their goal, and they can only be obedient when they receive our cakes and calves. And at this point in time, you've got a certain amount of mission dollars coming in this church. And you support a certain amount of missionaries. I talked to the pastor. He said some of them you support for $100 a month. Some of them you support for $75 a month. And his goal is to increase this missions giving so everybody can get $100. That's a wonderful goal. But I believe that there's going to be enough cakes and calves to go around that there's going to be a whole lot left over when this thing's over. I really believe that with all my heart. Because I believe I'm standing in front of a bunch of obedient people. Let God work on your heart and the Word of God work on your heart this week, not me. Amen? And I can't wait to see the results. Father, thank you for this opportunity once again as we just got started. Next 3 nights, this was application. We're going to see faith promise giving in the New Testament, where there were missionaries. 1 Corinthians 16 through and 18, I believe, or 2 Corinthians, one of the two. Those are chapters about missions giving, and we're going to go through that, and we're going to learn from it how we're supposed to do it. But thank you for the good start we've had. And Lord, now I believe the application is there. I believe that people understand just maybe a little bit better because of this application. And I pray they would. And I pray you'd be glorified. I pray that you would just build this church bigger and better than what it'll ever be. And Lord, we saw that down in Bonaire. And all I can say is, Lord, please do it again. And we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Preacher.